Welcome to the Jag Bros podcast after night one of the NFL draft, where we saw the Jaguars trade back to pick 23 and select Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU. We are three brothers, JT, myself, Jack, along with my younger brother, Joey, as well. We're diehard Jags fans. We have mixed emotions today, and we're going to break it down. We're going to talk about the trade. We're going to talk about Brian Thomas Jr., and we're going to talk about who we want to potentially see the Jaguars take here in round two tonight, Friday night, day two of the NFL draft. So let's talk about the trade first and give just our quick first reactions, our first grade. So the Jaguars sent their first round, pick 17, to the Minnesota Vikings, who we got back pick number 23 in the first round. We got the Vikings fifth round in this draft, and then the 2025 third and fourth round picks from the Vikings. So what'd y'all think? Like it, love it, hate it? What would you grade the trade for the Jags?
All right, I'll go first. I liked the trade back. The way the board fell, six quarterbacks taken. It was crazy. There was just so much on there that we could have done that the value was definitely to move back. I would have liked to have more picks in this draft than for the next year's draft. But from what I've heard from a lot of other analysts and everything is that the Jags won that draft. It was quite lopsided. We got technically a third, a fourth, and a fifth for just moving back a couple of spots. Whether it was in this draft or next, it doesn't quite matter as much. But I really do think that the trade ended up very well for us.
Initially, I was disappointed about what we got from the trade. I would have preferred to getting a second round, but the haul is nice. It gives you some optionality in the middle of next year if you're trying to make a trade. How many times did you see really good pass rushers or other guys toward the tail end of their contract going for a third or fourth round pick? So if that's how we're able to use it, or maybe we even use it tonight when we're trying to trade up in the second or third round. So in those ways, like I can stomach it. Personally, I still would have rather us gone after like a Dallas Turner, who is an edge rusher who is still on the board at 17. He's a guy who was slated originally the top 10. That would have been a huge get. Somebody I think a lot of Jacksonville fans would be really excited about, because guess what? You could now actually move Walker to the inside and have all three of those pass rushers on the field at the same time. That to me would have been really, really exciting. And I think the best case scenario for Jacksonville. But if your heart was set on Brian Thomas and you could move back six spots and still get him, then I could see why people would be happy with that trade as well.
Hold on. The whole edge thing, we were not going edge first round. We've never talked about moving Trayvon Walker on the inside. That's only been the fans. The organization.
You've talked about it, that's Joey. No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. They literally asked about Doug. Doug said that he talked to Caldwell last year saying, hey, maybe we should do that. And guess what? They did that against the Panthers. My argument is the reason why we could never have done that is because we didn't have the personnel to actually, what are you going to roll out Chase on 40, 50 snaps a game? You don't have a third legitimate rusher at this point. And so being able to get more of those guys on the field, potentially see if you could put Walker there, or at the very least, give yourself some depth at a very critical position. The best teams in the draft, the Eagles, the Rams, these guys, what they do is they just grab guys that shouldn't have fallen back 7 or 10 spots.
We have been training Walker to be an outside guy. He's finally showing improvement, gets 10.5 sacks, and he is doing much better on the outside. Why would you stop his momentum? It's the same thing they did with Walker Little. He was finally being good in the left tackle. They move him to left guard, and then he messes everything up. Why change something? You've been teaching him one way. If you move him inside, now he has to learn a whole new position. He has to start all over. And then you have practically two rookies in two positions instead of leading him where he's finally learning, finally thriving. There's no reason to move him. I do think we need an edge guy, but we need an edge guy in the second to third round, not in the first round.
Well, we'll see what the Jaguars do on day two, and we're going to keep this one short. This will just kind of be our first reactions. We'll, of course, have a longer breakdown of the draft after the draft is concluded, but I like the trade back. I did not love what we got back. because Dallas Turner was on the board. I felt like we should have gotten significantly more and more picks in the 2024 draft. So I gave the trade a C minus because of that. But let's talk about the pick itself. So at pick 23, the Jaguars take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. And feel free to give your grades, but what I want to do is give us the bear case for Brian Thomas Jr., why this could be a potential flop, because Jaguars fans know that we have missed a lot on wide receiver, but also give us the bull case of why this could be a potentially great pick for the Jaguars and for Trevor Lawrence. So who wants to give us the bear or the bull case here for Brian Thomas Jr.?
Look, I'm really disappointed in this pick. Brian Thomas, I think, has a lot of question marks in his game. He ran a very unsophisticated route tree at LSU. He was constantly being matched up with the second or third best corner on the other team. And pretty much his only route tree is a go route or a fade. I think if you watch his highlights, the first 4 or 5 minutes of it will literally just be him going deep over and over and over again and out-athleting other guys in college. Basically, what we got is a faster, slightly better version of potentially than Gabe Davis, but I think they have very similar games, very similar route trees. In this NFL, I'm not sure if this actually fits the style. So many defenses right now are playing too high shell. So many defenses are playing zone. So many defenses are trying to make it to where you can't take the top off the defense. So if it's not there, you now just have another guy just running wind sprints on the corner. In my mind, he's very similar to DJ Chark, who was a 4-3-4 type of guy, who was also 6'4", 200-ish pounds, almost identical measurables to him. From a performance perspective, I think he's very similar to Terrence Marshall III, who came out of the draft the same year that Justin Jefferson, he was on the same team as Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase for that LSU team. I think he's probably similar to Harry Ruggs or Jalen Hyatt as well, speedsters that were able to out-athlete people in college, but I don't know if he actually has the ability to do it at the next level. To me, and that's part of why coloring the disappointment of the trade itself is I would have rather seen us go a different direction. I've not been high on Brian Thomas at all during this process, and clearly I am still not high. It's really frustrating to see the Jaguars continually waste their first-round picks year after year after year.
I have to completely disagree here. I think he is a very solid, I give it a B+. I still probably would have liked to go corner just for how despairing our corner room is, but I think he's a solid wide receiver, definitely the fourth best wide receiver out of this bunch. I don't know if he will be a number one wide receiver right away, but
he will not be a number one wide receiver, period.
No, that's just false. He has the chance to become one, and he doesn't have to do it right away. He can learn under Kirk and Gabe Davis and slowly become that number one wide receiver and learn under Trevor and really start to thrive. We didn't need someone to be that number one wide receiver right away. Our wide receiver room was already good, and we just made it better. And then people are talking about, oh, he only did it for 1 year. But, I mean, Malik Nabers also only did it pretty much for 1 year. His last year was only 417 yards and 4 touchdowns, whereas Brian Jr. was 359 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he scored 17 touchdowns last year. He had over 1,100 yards. He is super fast, 6'4", has good weight. I think he can even block, which is really good for the Jaguars. And I just think that he's going to grow. I don't know if he's going to be the number one right away, but give him 2 years, I definitely think he can grow into that number one spot.
So slight correction there, Joey. He actually had 417 yards his first freshman year, Nabers did. He had over 1,000 his second year, and then almost 1,600 yards receiving his final year at LSU, whereas Brian Thomas never eclipsed 400 yards his first 2 years and then had this massive spike of almost 1,200 yards receiving and, to your point, 17 touchdowns. But what's concerning to me in that is he could not be a starting receiver at LSU until his final year, because he did not earn the playing time there at LSU until then. And just that he doesn't, to me, look like and feel like what an NFL receiver should have been doing. Jack, break the tie here.
Well, y'all know I've been high on Brian Thomas Jr. since January. I was actually looking back at our texts and was saying that y'all are asleep on Brian Thomas Jr. back when we were just talking about the NFL draft. So I had him at a B plus. If we took him at pick 17, since we traded back to number 23, I'm going to give it an A minus for the Jaguars. He is my clear cut wide receiver number 4. Now, that being said, y'all know this. I was pounding the table. You know, I still wanted us to trade up. And it seemed like a lot of people were trying to get into the top 10 and couldn't. I really wanted us to go Malik Nabers. I think he is a clear step above. I think Roma Dunze is a clear step above. So there's a lot more risk than one of the big three. But he was the best available wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He brings legit 4.3 speed. He's got 6'3", 6'4 height, 207 pounds. I think he will add some more weight, some strength. And he was a touchdown machine. Look, at the end of the day, the Jaguars struggled big time to score in the red zone, and they wanted to get guys that they could throw the ball up to, and they got Gabe Davis in free agency. They go get Brian Thomas Jr., both who are very good touchdown go get the ball guys, and I think it's going to help the Jaguars, who really, really struggled to score 6 points when they got the ball inside the 10, inside the 5 yard line.
And I was about to say, JT, you made the point for Thomas Jr., because guess what the Jaguars do when they get into the end zone? They throw fades. That's all they did. And we had all the tiny wide receivers who couldn't go up and get it. And now we have two guys who can go up and get those 50-50 balls. We throw fades more than any other team. So the fit actually makes it better than...
Yes, if your goal is to run fades, then yes, it does make sense for you to do that. But it's not the most efficient way to score touchdowns. To your point, we do it far more than any other team. And guess what? We're far less efficient in the red zone than any other team. And so
that's
why
you're
are we
under 6 foot wide receivers?
Well, it's no. Why is nobody else doing it even when they have tall receivers? It's not the correct strategy in today's NFL. Instead, you're much better off scheming things open. Look, if you thought we just got somebody that's Calvin Ridley or better, we didn't. He's a interesting wide receiver who is fast and has an unsophisticated rat tree. That's my, and he's not a number one. To me, he will never be a number one. He will be very similar to a DJ Chark-esque wide receiver.
You know, DJ Chark's such an interesting comparison because, of course, we feel like he's a bust, but I was looking at his stats because he is very comparable. Tall, fast, wide receiver out of LSU. There are a lot of similarities. One, Chark's stats at LSU were way, 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 way less than Brian Thomas Jr. Why DJ Chark went at the end of the second round. But look at the second year Chark had in the NFL. He goes over 1,000 yards receiving. I'm telling you, if Brian Thomas Jr. in year two as a 22-year-old wide receiver goes and gets over 1,000 yards, we're looking at this as a very, very good pick.
Well, I mean, DJ Chark only played essentially two seasons for LSU, and it was a completely different offense. But I think, but to your point, I think their production profiles are different, but like they do have red flags. And you're right, Jack. Like, he's not a terrible receiver, but I don't think anybody thinks of DJ Chark as a true number one. And so true. I think that's what we got is a guy who could be a nice. He could be, I think, ultimately, look, Brian Thomas could be a better version of Gabe Davis. If the Bills had had Brian Thomas a couple years ago in the Gabe Davis role, maybe they are looking at their offense very differently. I think that's what we have. And it's frustrating because we'll most likely have end up cutting Zay Jones. But I feel like Brian Thomas is more of a comp to Gabe than he is to Zay and what Zay brings.
Here's my final thought on Brian Thomas Jr., and I'll turn it over to you, Joey. But I think he has every physical tool. Does he have the route running ability yet? No, clearly not. Yes, you look at his route tree. He ran a ton of goes. He ran a ton of hitches. Just turn around and beat him with your speed and quickness. But he has the tools to take it to the next level. And now it's a question of coaching, because he's got size, which you can't coach. He's got speed, which you can't coach. And now all you have left is you've got to coach him to be able to run great routes at the next level. And we're going to see. We're going to see if the Jags coaching staff, if their wide receiver coaches can take him from what I think is a good raw receiver at only 21 years old. And can they make him a refined wide receiver who can become very good at the pro level.
I just keep going back to the way that our offense is schemed up. We can have the argument whether this scheme is the right scheme for the NFL and everything of that nature, but we've seen what Press Taylor and Doug Peterson want to do, and they love to throw the fade. They love to do it in the red zone, and it's just the right fit for what they want to do. Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but for what they want to scheme up, he fits perfectly. That's why I like the pick. I think we now have two guys that are pretty much 6'3" who can do a jump ball. And I think that's what they want Trevor Lawrence throwing. And I think that's what the offense wants to do. I don't know if that's the right thing that the offense should be doing, but we at least now have the wide receivers to do it instead of having a bunch of 6 foot and under 6 foot guys trying to do a fade, which just wasn't working. So instead of changing it up, they just went out and got taller, better 50-50 ball wide receivers. I do want to talk a little bit about the second round. Who are you wanting us to go get? Because there's quite a few people that fell.
I think you and I were we were all texting offline. Kool-Aid McKinstry still on the board. There's a couple other corners. Go take one of those third or fourth round picks you just got from the Vikings and trade up and snag one of these guys the early second. Get a playmaker at corner, and I'm way less frustrated with this draft.
100%. I love that route. You know, in our draft preview, if y'all missed that episode, go back and listen. I said success for the Jaguars is either you go get a grand slam pick and a couple nice picks, or you've got to get a lot of hits in this draft. Baseball analogy there. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is somewhere between a single to double. He's not a home run. He's not a grand slam. Like, I wanted one of the big three wide receivers, which means you've got to keep hitting in this draft. I think you've got a great opportunity to trade up and get Kool-Aid McKinstry, who is a top three corner on this draft class for me, or I've not been as high on Cooper DeJean only because I didn't love him in the first round, but he becomes super interesting to me, cornerback out of Iowa, in this second round as well. I think those two guys should be at the top of the board, and if they don't go corner here and want to stay, Johnny Newton, defense tackle out of Illinois, is another beast, round one, maybe top 10 graded player in this draft.
Yes, I was just about to bring up Cooper DeJean. If we do miss out on Kool-Aid, I mean, there's two first-round graded cornerbacks now in the second round, which also pushes all the second-round corners a lot later as well, which I think is really great for us. Definitely, I think we should package up what the Vikings gave us and move up in the second round and go get a first-round corner. So it's practically like you got two picks in the first round. I love Kool-Aid. I think he's the right fit for us. He can play outside and inside, is very physical, and just matches kind of what the scheme looks like for this new defense. But I also don't hate Cooper DeJean. He's very athletic, kind of almost reminds me of a Christian McCaffrey, but on the defense. So definitely could be a really interesting pick there as well.
Well, we will all be waiting on the edge of our seats this Friday night as the Jaguars pick their second and third picks. And yeah, this is it for us, right? With the history that we have of picking beyond the fourth round is terrible. And so we need to make sure we have some hits here in the second and third rounds. Shout out to those of us who follow us on Twitter X. We just got over 1,000 followers, which is massive.
Let's go.
That is amazing. Thank you all for following us.
Absolutely. And I know we love to interact and cause some controversy there on Twitter. So follow us there if you haven't already. Like us, follow us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Give us 5-star reviews, leave us some comments. And hey, we're still in the off season, so let us know what else you would like us to cover now in preseason as we try to keep our Jags fandom somewhat burning at a low level before we start building again in September. With one final thing to do here around these parts, we always end our podcast with one loud doom.